Culture.
Book Review. A History of Hamas. Dance of Death. Hamas. By Beverly Milton Edwards and Stephen Farrell.
The horrific events of October 7th, 2023 are well known. Gunmen stormed into Israel from Gaza, killing around 1,200 people and dragging 251 hostages back to the long-besieged territory. The consequences are well documented too. Israel's retaliatory onslaught has killed at least 37,000 people and displaced around 90% of the 2.3 million people living in Gaza. What led up to October 7th? The answers are bound to fill plenty of doorstoppers. One uncomfortable explanation is that for decades, extremists on both sides have acted in a tacit alliance. This is true of Hamas, the Palestinian Islamist group that has ruled Gaza since 2007 and perpetrated the October 7th massacres, and Israel's hard right, particularly under Benjamin Netanyahu, the country's longest-serving prime minister. For 30 years, these bitter foes have hammered each other during repeated rounds of violence. But they share a goal, undermining the peace process. Beverly Milton Edwards and Stephen Farrell explain this bloody cycle in Hamas. First published in 2010, the book has been comprehensively updated. Ms. Milton Edwards is a seasoned scholar of the region. Mr. Farrell is a former Reuters bureau chief in Jerusalem. Their analysis of the militant group combines academic research with on-the-ground reporting, including extensive interviews with senior Hamas figures. Hamas, which means zeal and is an Arabic acronym for the Islamic Resistance Movement, emerged as a political force in the late 1980s. The author's close-up portrait of the group dispenses with some myths. No, Hamas is not simply a puppet of Iran, even though the Sunni Muslim group relies on the Shia Islamic Republic for some of its arms and funding. The authors also explore in detail the question of Hamas's anti-Semitism and find greater nuance than many may expect. The group's more sophisticated leaders have sought to distance Hamas from the baldly Jew-hating language of its original charter, an effort revealed in the much milder revised version released in 2017. Though Israelis may not believe it, what attracts many Palestinians to Hamas is its rhetoric about land and waging war against their enemy, more than differences of faith, the authors contend. In the 1980s, Hamas's primary aim was not to resist Israeli occupation. It was to offer an Islamic alternative to secular Palestinian leadership. As Ms. Milton Edwards and Mr. Farrell document, many in the Israeli defense establishment saw the emergent faction as an opportunity to divide and rule. This thinking among Israeli politicians endured, despite Hamas's subsequent turn to terrorism. In 2019, Mr. Netanyahu remarked that it was clever to allow funding to reach Hamas, because maintaining a separation between the Palestinian Authority, or PA, in the West Bank and Hamas in Gaza helps prevent the establishment of a Palestinian state. During the 1990s, when Palestinian and Israeli leaders reached an accord that granted limited autonomy to Gaza and parts of the West Bank, Hamas and the Israeli far right worked in parallel to destroy the deal. After an Israeli settler massacred 29 Palestinians at a mosque in 1994, Hamas launched suicide attacks against Israeli citizens. Those horrors, plus the murder of Yitzhak Rabin, Mr. Netanyahu's chief rival, by a Jewish extremist, helped bring the peace skeptics to power in 1996. A A few years later, it was again Hamas's turn to act as wrecker. In March 2002, as 22 Arab leaders announced a sweeping new offer of peace to Israel, a Hamas terrorist blew himself up at a Passover dinner, killing 30 Israelis. The furious Israeli response, which included destroying the PA headquarters and building a security wall in the West Bank, demolished any prospect of regional peace. In the 2000s, as Palestinians realized that their secular leadership was failing to bring an end to occupation, Hamas's popularity grew. The authors argue that, from its birth as the military wing of the Muslim Brotherhood in 1987, Hamas has operated on a working assumption: when Palestine burns, its support grows. They cite opinion polls showing that Hamas's approval ratings sink during periods of peace and increase during wars. In a recent poll, 67% of Palestinians said that Hamas's attack on October 7th was a correct move, even after months of Israeli bombardment. Meanwhile, a survey in May by Pew Research Center, a think tank, found that 73% of Israeli Jews think that the country's military response in Gaza has been about right or not gone far enough. So the cycle goes on. The authors offer two lessons. One is that no matter how much of Hamas's military capacity Israel obliterates, it will not be able to destroy the group's ability to act as a spoiler. The other message is that only a political path, leading to an end of Israeli rule over millions of unhappy Palestinians, can hobble Hamas.